Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Caller 10 at 800-636-1067. Congrats, you're winning two tickets to Lynyrd Skynyrd and Foreigner's Double Trouble Double Vision Tour. Saturday, July 25th at Jiffy Lube Live. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com/events, courtesy of Live Nation.
Your pals are exclusively sponsored by the law firm of Condori and Morad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Capital. How about those Caps, winners of 5 straight, 8 of their last 10, late night, 10:30 start last night, and right around 1 a.m. they wrapped up a victory. They got another 10:30 East time start tonight right here on The Fan, so we'll talk about them in our Blitz, the NFL as well, and the Commanders all coming up this segment. Let's get into it. Speaking of the Caps, we will talk to Joe Beninati in about an hour at 5 o'clock on their hot stretch, but right now, Katie Florio joins us of the Capitals Radio Network. Late night work, Katie, as they are out in California. Second straight game out west tonight, and they're looking for two more points. How about that gritty win last evening?
That was a really gritty win. And yeah, it's a struggle for us back here hosting some very late nights, another one. But, no, the Capitals just continue to roll on. Five-game win streak, 8 wins in their last 9 games. And we knew it was probably going to be a low-scoring one against the Kings, who are very defensively sound as well, and that's exactly what we saw. But credit to Logan Thompson, who continues to just be an absolute brick wall for this team. And how about Tom Wilson yet again scoring on the power play? So all in all, another really good game.
Yeah, you mentioned Tom Wilson. He's going to go past his career high in goals by Christmas at this rate, Katie. This is unbelievable. How's he scoring this way?
Yeah, I mean, it's so great to see how he's been all season long. Even when the Capitals were in that little bit of a lull at the beginning, he was still the one carrying the team. But, you know, I think all in all, he's able to find it different ways. He goes to the dirty areas. He's in front of the net. But like we've seen the past two games, there's no question that special teams have been the weakest spot for this team throughout the course of this season. But I thought last night, at least the process looked a lot better than what we've been seeing. I really like in more time that Ryan Leonard is getting on it as well. And so that's now 2 power play goals for him in the last 2 games. So really great to see him breaking through there as well.
I feel like Ryan Leonard's game is just taking flight in all ways, not just on the power play. I mean, you just see him asserting himself more, Katie. He's more physical. It seems like things have slowed down for him a little bit.
Absolutely. I think that's exactly the best way to put it. Things have slowed down to him. I think he looks like a completely different player in November and now into December than he did in October. And so much of that was, you know, just learning how to be a consistent NHL player. I think we saw in the beginning so many times he kind of tried to be the hero. He was doing the cutesy moves and the things that did work for him in college, but he learned that this is a college to NHL hockey is a big step. And so he has kind of, you know, gotten out of that, and he's learned over the course of these, you know, 8-10 weeks, okay, what does work in the NHL? And so the way that he has just continued to improve, and like you said, the way that the game has slowed down for him, it's been great to see. And I love the physicality we're seeing from him too. Every time there's a post whistle scrum, he is right there in the middle of it. He's been able to draw a lot of penalties for the Capitals that way too. And so for someone that, of course, is so young, not even 21 years old yet, it's been really cool to watch his confidence grow with each week.
Katie, there haven't been a ton of points yet for Justin Sortif, but he just always shows up. He's like that glue guy in basketball that always seems to be around the ball, or the, you know, the really good tackler in football that, again, is always around the ball. Just seems to be making the right play, getting guys in the right spots, et cetera. Some pretty heavy good minutes here from him of late. What have you seen?
Yeah, I totally agree with that as well. And I think when they brought him in, or the organization this summer, they didn't bring him in to be a flashy guy, high scoring, because that's not who he is. I mean, he spent the majority of last season with the Charlotte Checkers in the AHL. And so different type of scenario, of course, from Sortif to Ryan Leonard, but another guy that really had to get comfortable with what the NHL was like. And so in the beginning, it was, okay, we're sort of not hearing his name. But like you said, he emerged in a different way. He's not going to be the guy to, you know, put up points every single night. But it's some of his passing, the playmaking, the speed that he has as well. I mean, the pass we saw to Wilson, I believe it was Wilson, a few weeks ago in a home game for just an incredible goal. It was such an elite passing sequence. And so he's another one that it's, and he's only 23 years old also. So one of those guys that kind of flies under the radar. But, you know, when you're looking at the board battles along the wall, things like that, he's winning battles. And like you said, playing heavy minutes that in the long run are really going to help this team.
Katie, thank you. We will be listening tonight.
Thank you, guys.
Caps Hockey at 10:30 here on The Fan. That's, I don't know, six hours, 20 minutes from right now. Late night Caps. All right, let's talk football. Mike Jones of The Athletic. Mike, if the Bengals win out, they'll probably make the playoffs because the Ravens and the Steelers play each other a couple times. Can they? They play Buffalo, Baltimore, Miami, and then Arizona, Cleveland. Can they win out?
I think that they will come very close, but I don't have any confidence in their defense. I mean, because they were scoring 28, 29 points a game with Joe Flacco as their quarterback. It wasn't an offensive problem. It's the fact that their defense can't stop anybody. And so I think that that defense could wind up costing them, and they're just going to miss the cut.
Mike, this is a broader question. You covered this team here in town for so long, and now you cover the NFL at large, and you know a lot of these guys and folks that you know and write about the league. Why is it so hard for so many great Washington players to get into the Hall of Fame? Most specifically thinking of Joe Jacoby and our own Brian Mitchell here in town, but it just seems like that era, for whatever reason, gets overlooked. Is there a conversation you've overheard or a sentiment you've heard expressed among your fellow writers?
I have asked about this a lot, and I really don't fully understand it. I know one point I had heard from somebody that, you know, that Bill Belichick had once said that he never had to use a double team, that they always had to get, that's right, they always had to give Joe Jacoby help against Lawrence Taylor. And because of that, that kind of diminished his, you know, standing in his eyes. And then when he switched to right tackle, but other people have told me, well, that's because Jim Lachey just couldn't make the switch. And so they had to move him over there, and he did well there. But yeah, it's frustrating. I know people who have been working and lobbying on his behalf. I also know people who are, you know, lining up and you know, some of the selection committee. And to me, it seems like he is a Hall of Famer, that there needs to be more than just one hog on that, that in the Hall of Fame. But it, you know, this is where he is right now, and those are just some of the things I've learned. As far as Brian Mitchell, I don't get that either. He is definitely worthy of it. I thought when Devin Hester got in, it was going to open the door, and maybe it still could, but for right now, he continues to wait as well. But Just nothing but, you know, excellence at on special teams, and then valuable in offense as well. So I hope it happens, but they're left waiting one more time.
Mike Jones of The Athletic. Mike, Commanders play the Vikings this weekend. J.J. McCarthy had played terribly. Then he has the concussion symptoms. For a week, everyone talked themselves into how good Max Brosmer's going to be, and the idea is maybe we don't see McCarthy again. He throws four picks. They get shut out, their worst game in terms of points since 07 as an organization, and now all of a sudden they're excited to get McCarthy back. But what do we expect from him? It's been a real struggle.
Yeah, but I mean, here's the thing. The dude has not played football in a year. He missed all of last year, you know, while having knee surgery and recovering. The Vikings were really foolish to think that they could go to him and that there was not going to be a drop-off from Sam Darnold to him. They really should have given him basically a redshirt year this year, let him go through practice and everything like that and sit behind a veteran and learn, and then turn him out there. And then there's all this frustration that he doesn't look great. Well, he's a freaking rookie, basically, and has a lot of rust and learning to catch up to the speed. So, you know, these lumps were bound to happen. And I think that, you know, the opportunity is there for Washington. Their defense seems like it's gotten a little bit better in the last couple of weeks, you know, and so we'll see what happens. But it's obviously an opportunity that they have to take advantage of. With McCarthy and the Vikings, because if you lose this game, then it's just, man, if you can't beat them, who can you beat?
So, Mike, the Bills right now are the 7 seed. They're at 8-4. Houston breathing down their neck at 7-5. Hear me out in this scenario. There could be a year where Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Joe Burrow are not in the postseason. Like, the year that Kansas City needs to, you know, kind of finally become mortal, the other legends who have been just waiting for their one crack at it might not get a chance either. It just seems wild to me.
No, it really is. And it is just, it's hard to wrap your mind around the fact that all three of those quarterbacks and Joe Burrow as well. But when you look at them, every single them, one of them are on rosters where, whether it's their offensive line betraying them or their defense betraying them, you know, or like their front office didn't really go out and get them top flight pass catchers. You know, these guys have carried their team for so long, and I think we're seeing where they were kind of taken for granted and their supporting cast are subpar, and it's going to wind up costing them. And, you know, you thought maybe, like you said, the door would be open for somebody else if the Chiefs had fallen backwards, but everybody's regressing at the same time, and then the door is opening for these teams like the Patriots, who have done nothing but steadily improve and are really efficient on both sides of the ball, even though they're not prolific, or teams like, you know, the Rams, you know, in the NFC, who are dominant on both sides of the ball, you know. So there's a lot of teams that are out there that are getting the job done, and it's seems weird, but it really is a realistic possibility that they and also a team like Detroit is on the outside looking in.
Mike, thank you. We appreciate you, buddy. Be good.
All right. See you guys.
See you, bud.
Let's localize the football. Liam Griffin to do just that. It was good catching up with him out at Northwest Stadium. Covers the Commanders for the Washington Times. Liam, I guess let's start with Jaden Daniels. What is the deal here with him not being cleared for contact yet, and could he still play Sunday?
Yeah, so it seems like they are obviously taking every precaution necessary with Jaden Daniels. When we look at him in practice, like today, he looked good. There was no brace on that left elbow that he injured just over a month ago now. But, excuse me, they are stopping short of clearing him. They say they're not going to say anything until Friday. I think there is still a very, very realistic chance that he plays on Sunday, but I believe Dan Quinn when he says we don't know yet.
How sustainable is this? Their defense is kind of okay as opposed to an epic disaster in the previous part of the season.
I think it's very sustainable. I think it's easy to point the finger and be like, oh, Dan Quinn took over play calling and now it's better. I don't think it's quite that simple. I think there was a whole kind of philosophy shift where they went back down to basics and said, okay, we don't have the horses to play man coverage every week, losing Marshawn Lattimore and Trey Amos. So we're going to switch to a more zone-heavy scheme that Dan Quinn really made famous across the NFL when he was with Seattle. And the secondary in particular has really started to excel in that. It plays to their strengths. And I think you're going to see them continue kind of using that going forward. But it has also really, Dan Quinn said it today, it has helped energize him being on the sideline and being really in tune with his players.
So do you think he does it next year?
I think he does. I was really surprised when he said the other day that, like, yeah, there's a good chance that I'll keep doing it. But it seems like he said he's having a great time. Like, he's really enjoying doing that. He's enjoying the challenge. They're also kind of lucky in the way that they have shaped out this coaching staff and that they have a bunch of guys around who have head coaching experience who don't need maybe as much oversight as somebody else might. You know, you have Cliff Kingsbury there now. You have guys like Anthony Lynn. Like, these are people who don't need a head coach to hold their hand or tell them how to run a room. And so it kind of frees up Dan Quinn to focus on the defense. And since he's taken over, they've looked like a much stronger unit. And if it's working, then I see no reason to change it.
Liam, I understand, you know, there's still plenty of time left in the season and, you know, the locker room and the culture and this, that, and the other. You've got to, you know, kind of keep playing your best guys. I fully get that. But in a world where they're out of it, and Zach Ertz is a free agent to be and he's in his mid-30s, there were 16 targets to tight ends in this past game, and none of them went to their second-round pick from last year, Ben Sinnott. Do we see a time at some point this year where he might get something crazy like 3 targets in a game? Like, are they ever going to start to maybe fade up a little bit some of their draft picks from last year, like Johnny Newton, who's getting outsnapped by veterans they found off the street?
Yeah, the uproarious heights of 3 targets a game would seem like a lot for Ben Sinnott. They've said this before, but they are not rushing Sinnott at all. And you hear guys around the league talk about it, like, tight end is very rarely, Brock Bowers excluded, a position where guys can come in and make that kind of immediate impact. That said, Sinnott has been slow to develop and has not gotten those targets. But they have started to work those guys in. Like, you talked about those draft picks. Jordan McGee has really seen his role explode in the defense as an off-ball linebacker after, you know, weeks of fans complaining that Bobby Wagner can't cover anymore, which I don't agree with. But they are starting to do that. And you saw it a bit with a little bit of Tyler Owens experimentation at safety. But they have not done it as much on offense, except for out of necessity when they run out of wide receiver bodies. But I think they're going to have to start using Sinnott, or there's going to be a lot of questions during training camp. And unless something is shown from him soon, you know, is Zach Ertz coming back? Do you have a different option at tight end? It's going to start leading to some questions this offseason.
Liam Griffin covers the Commanders. Thank you, buddy. Good intel.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate you as always. That is your Beltway Blitz. So last night, Danny, the Commanders were featured on an episode of Hard Knocks for the first time ever. Many, many years and many dreams wasted on this. This is all I ever wanted. Get me, my football team, on Hard Knocks. And it happened. We will discuss the very limited amount that Washington was on Hard
Knocks. Extremely limited.
Episode 1. We'll do that next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
Yeah. I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Hard Knocks debuted in the NFC East version last night on HBO. I wanted to get into some of what we saw behind the scenes on the Commanders and some of what we saw from the other three teams in the division. Danny has not yet seen episode one.
No, hot mess in my house last night. Couldn't get it done.
We had a little debate. Do we talk about it today? Do we wait 24 hours?
I think we have to talk about it.
There's enough people that are probably excited to hear the discussion, so we're going to do it. We'll let you do the reading a day late, but the teacher's going to be tapping her foot if you don't do your reading tonight.
Yeah, you can call on tomorrow. I know that one.
I have been there before, by the way. Grant, do you know what happened in chapter 3? I do not. I show up at school the next day, still haven't done the reading, get on Spark Notes or whatever, try to figure out what happened in the chapter. Remember that website?
So that was before our time. We didn't have that. Remember, websites and school for me didn't exist until end of college.
Yeah.
So for us, it was like you'd have to go find the Cliff Notes, which they banned from everywhere, but it was like black market type stuff where you'd find them.
Where would you get those?
Like people would have them. It was like, honestly, it was like trying to buy drugs.
Like printed?
Yes, printed Cliff Notes. So it was one page for every 7 to 10 pages.
And who would make them?
Whoever the Cliff Company was. I'm doing a bit.
Was a company.
I think so.
Pre-internet Spark Notes website that did the same thing.
Yeah.
And then it was like a printed manual, essentially.
The printed version.
Crazy.
The Cliff, different time, dude.
Yeah, that is.
From middle school, high school type stuff. Where you're, like I read Grendel and all sorts of weird stuff. I'm like, I don't even know what these words mean. They're in Middle English. I've read Chaucer, but I don't know that I've read it. It's impossible. Somebody explain this to me.
I'm going to make a few divisional wide observations first, and then we'll get into the Commanders. First, I want to say, here is one episode down of Hard Knocks where you see all four teams and you're riding in the car with and you're getting some time with each coach. And the guy that may have came off the best, not that anything was wrong with Dan Quinn, I just see that all the time, was Brian Schottenheimer. Of the Dallas Cowboys. Who so far, I will raise my hand, I have been very, very wrong about. I thought that hiring was not only uninspiring, but I thought it was downright bad and ridiculous. His opening press conference was borderline comically terrible. Not that he did anything wrong, but it's just Brian Schottenheimer, who's never been a good coordinator, and now he's a head coach, and why is this happening? You can see why players love him. He is just an immensely likable person, and I just thought, the way that he carried himself on Hard Knocks, the way he interacted with his players, the way the show was edited with, we're getting to see, in fairness, the Cowboys beat the Eagles and the Chiefs in a 5-day span.
Yeah.
That's going to make your head coach look pretty good.
Sure.
But even still, with the adversity they've dealt with, I mean, they had a player in a tragedy die during the season, take his own life. And so the things that they've overcome here, winning 3 in a row, I just think he's done a very solid job, and I really liked Brian Schottenheimer. So he's been the big winner so far as I'm concerned. But if you would have said to me, through one episode, which coach comes off the best, and you would have told me it was Schottenheimer, I would have laughed in your face.
Amazing, right? Because, again, when that hire was made, everybody outside of a couple Dallas homers are sitting there, like, chortling, you know, snorting, laughing, making fun of that one, where it's like, that'll do it. That'll put you over the top. And all he's done is, it seems like a pretty damn good job.
The other Cowboys point I'll make, and I'm going to tread lightly on compliments of Dallas for the rest of the day because it's a lot. I've always really liked Dak Prescott as a guy. Isn't Dak just come off like a really genuinely good dude? I always felt this way about Tony Romo, honestly, weirdly enough, too. I remember there were stories where, I think we did it one of our first months together, where like he was going to see a movie, and there was a homeless guy outside the movie theater, and he like just brought the guy in with him and got him a ticket and got him popcorn and a soda, and him and the guy watched a movie together. Do you remember that at all?
Vaguely. That sounds right.
But stories like that pop up. Like Dak has done so much for mental health and different things like suicide prevention, honestly, because of what happened with his brother. But it's not just the charitable stuff. I just think he's a good leader. I think he seems like he'd be a cool hang. I like Dak Prescott as a dude. I know I'm not supposed to say that.
Yeah, I know.
That may bother some fans of football in this area.
Because it's a, you know, once that helmet is off and that stupid uniform is off that I hate so much and that dumb star, you're probably right. It's hard for me to separate the two, though. But I hear what you're saying.
Facts. So that'll be it for complimenting the Cowboys. The Eagles. If this series was an opportunity for me to come away thinking, I was wrong, Nick Sirianni isn't a goose. He's not really a boob. That's not going to be happening.
Okay.
I do think Nick Sirianni is a goose and a boob. It's a lot of, you know, we call Dan Quinn, we joke about Sergeant Slogan or whatever. It's, if you think Jalen Hurts just spits out cliches, wait till you see this call with NBC from Sirianni. It's like he thinks he's on camera or something. I guess technically he is on Hard Knocks. But he's talking with Al Michaels for this behind-the-scenes thing. And he's just Mr. Cliche, and everything's a poster on his wall, like, you know, try your best, God will do the rest. He doesn't have that one. But, like, that's, like, his whole mantra is, like, anything.
Every day is a new day to fight.
Right. It's just too much. But also, just the conversations he's having with, like, Brandon Graham and, you know, every week. Thank God that game went that way. You know, I'm just so glad that we suck today. Because that's why we're going to be better next week. Like, I just don't believe you.
Yep.
And, yes, you've won constantly. I think you got dropped into the greatest situation ever. So this may actually backfire. Instead of me coming away going, you know, this Nick Sirianni guy.
He's thriving in the eye of the storm.
Now I get it. I think it's going to go the other direction. It's early, but that's what I'm thinking.
Interesting. Yeah, they've won an astounding amount. Their disastrous season was 11-6.
You can't say he's a bad coach.
No, he's perfect for
them. They win too much. But they always have locker room problems.
Yep.
They don't particularly have a good culture. They have really talented players. I think they have a great run game and offensive line, and I give their O-line coach, I think it's Jeff Stoutland, a lot of credit for that. But it's not in spite of. I just think there's a lot of guys that could have a lot of success there. That's what I would say.
Yeah, I'm of the belief that this is a Howie Roseman production brought to you by Howie Roseman. And he's puts on a masterclass every year, and all anyone would have to do is try to study his methods. So they're great, and they have more draft picks than everybody. You figure that out. Right, where they've got more talent than everyone and more draft picks than everyone. Again, how he's doing it, everyone else should be taking notes and just do exactly that or as close to it as you can just to try to walk in their shadow. They're incredible. And Nick Sirianni's also there. He has an office too.
So that brings us to home base in the Washington Commanders. So there were three scenes that were notable, really, of any length from behind-the-scenes access to Washington. We also got to see a lot of mic'd up, you know, video as well of their game with the Broncos, but it was honestly mostly just highlights with some radio calls and, you know, a couple of shots at the sideline. I didn't find a lot of like new information during the game at all.
Yeah, there was some cool stuff with like Daniels was talking to Tony Dungy before the game.
Oh, that was interesting.
That was kind of cool.
Yeah, I rewound that 10 times. My wife was so mad because I thought at first he said, I'll be back next week. Because Tony Dungy was like, hey, how you feeling, man? Are you getting close? And he said something like, I'll be back. And he trails off. And I thought he said next week. And I'm like, we did it! We did it! We just cracked the case! Like, Hard Knocks screwed up! Like, as if the editing process didn't play out. And after, I'm not joking, like, the seventh or eighth time, I'm like, I just can't tell. My wife's like, don't rewind that again, or we're watching something else. Like, she was so mad about it. I don't think he said, I'll be back next week, for the record.
But how could you be sure? Have you rewound it at all?
I should do it a couple more
times. Have you watched it?
So, clip number one here is Dan Quinn excited about actually having players at practice. This was very quick, not a big deal, but you could just tell this was early last week ahead of the Broncos game that there was some momentum in the building that they felt like the talent was improving because they were getting some bodies back.
I think the most fun I've had at practice in a while.
What?
Most fun I've had at practice. A lot of people here. like practicing. It's like, feels pretty good. Yes, I saw a deep ball over there at a 17. I made my heart happy.
How did when he accelerated under it? Oh, that was awesome.
That was Adam Peters talking about Terry McLaurin doing something awesome, which is ironic, I would say. Not to say that he doesn't know Terry McLaurin's a good player, but if you've been around here since the summer, I think that's kind of interesting. Like, you see how he did that? No one else on our team can do that? That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, pretty neat, huh?
Like, Adam Peters,
hey,
you're
buddy.
Saying that, aren't you?
Yeah.
All right, next video. Dan Quinn postgame. So this is a good one here. This was Quinn after the Broncos game. We always get the wins, where everyone high fives and you know, Frankie Louvu throws a rock at the wall or whatever, and everyone yells oos. We get those. But we don't get the losses, right? We got a loss video. So this is Dan Quinn addressing the team, and this is where the quote came from that ended up making the rounds, not just in D.C., but all over the
Everywhere.
Country today. This was where Dan Quinn was your big episode one winner for this season, where he drops the bar of all bars. We may have lost, but we're not lost anymore.
Now, I'm dying with you, man. And one thing I would say, man, like, we also recaptured, like, the competitive dog. All right? So, like, I want you to understand that's a big deal about who we are and what we stand for and that. So, like, it doesn't change the result. Trust me, all right? We lost, but we're not lost anymore. You know what I'm saying by that? Sometimes you get your heart broken. You got to lay it all out there. All right? It's things tonight, for sure. But we lost, but we are not lost anymore.
Oh, he goes back to it. He drills in a little deeper to make sure that it doesn't fall out of the wall.
Just a quick encore.
Danny. I know you want to be a cynical, I hate everything, whatever.
Like, yes.
Sergeant slogan this, whatever. That's a bar.
That is. That is a great turn of phrase.
It's a great
It's a fantastic turn of phrase.
I've never heard it before. I need to Google to see, make sure it's not like on a bunch of like bathroom posters or something that people have. But that's really good.
It's very good. That is an excellent turn of phrase right there.
You think
in that
he
situation.
Came up with it?
I think he thinks he did. Like whether he did or not. You know what I mean? Like in his mind, I think he got to that point.
I think he came up with it right before. So he didn't come up with it in real time. There's no chance real time with Bill Maher. He's just standing there, and he's just shooting from the hip, and this is some freestyle rap where he's like George Bush, you know, your stand-up set where he like does the smirk as he's like the words are coming out well. I don't think Dan Quinn's just like, we may have lost, but we're not lost anymore. Like, I think it was he takes forever after the game. I've never, ever, ever been around a coach who takes longer to get to the podium after a game. Not a complaint, not
okay.
a sermon.
Just an observation.
Right. So, like, normally there's a 10-minute cooling off period. Locker room opens, coach talks. Most of the guys I've covered have been at the podium between 10 and 15 minutes after the game. They are answering questions already. Like, opening statements over, they're midway through this thing. Dan Quinn at times gets there like 40 minutes after the game. And I think what I've heard is like he is unbelievably thorough at wanting to pour over everything, like address whatever he needs to with whoever he needs to, do the coaching locker room part of it, which drags on a little longer with him, it seems. And then also prepare for the media so that you don't say things like, we could be eliminated. I think he doesn't want to
be embarrassed.
I think he doesn't want to say, we could be eliminated.
We could be eliminated.
So he comes to the podium like a half hour after Ron used to. And 37 minutes after Shane.
Ron's just jogging right up there. Anybody have any questions for me?
Right, exactly. But anyway, why did I bring this up?
I don't
up?
Want to call on Grant.
There was a there's a reason I brought this up, and I can't remember it now.
Long time.
It's because, like, I think he sits in his office before he goes into the locker room for a few minutes, and he's, like, got a piece of paper, and he's like, what do I say to the guys? Like, how do I? You know, let's not miss this. You know how he says miss it?
Miss it.
Let's not miss it. We got a moment here. And I think he wrote that down. He's like, this is bars. And he's right, by the way. He is a poet. I just Googled it. I Googled, we may have lost, but we're not lost anymore. To see if, you know, they say it was like Cleopatra or whoever. I don't know why it would be Cleopatra.
Yeah, Cleopatra said that.
Yeah. This phrase is a quote from Washington Commanders head coach Dan Quinn after a loss during the taping of HBO Hard Knocks.
How about it?
So they're not giving anybody else credit for it. I think it's a DQOG.
A Dan Quinn original. It's got a watermark.
You got
lost, but we are not lost anymore.
I mean, put that. If they win, we're playing that all day on Monday. The boys have been found. We could do a whole segment on things that used to be lost that aren't anymore.
Yeah, like I found my keys.
Right. They were lost.
I may have lost them. They're not lost anymore.
Not this day.
We lost, but we're not lost anymore.
God, that's so good. 1 to 100. The scale of...
Yeah, of whatever that scale is.
Of great line from a coach. That's a 99. That's really
That's
good.
A little steep, but
that's
I see your
Javon
point.
That's Javon Kinlaw. That is Warren Sapp. Because you know what he's saying.
I know exactly what he means.
What he's great, saying yeah. is, and he said it earlier, if you want to play the beginning of that, too.
Put it twice. He said it twice.
But, no, I don't even mean that. I mean, he basically said, we found that bleeping dog. We all watched them last year.
They were, yeah.
I get there were injuries this year. They have just played differently. They miss tackles. They're not as physical. They're not as violent. They don't arrive violently like they did.
Yep.
It's a different thing.
The way they've been playing is not for everybody.
Stella doesn't have her groove. Mm-hmm. Stella needed to get her groove back. And he basically got in front of the team and said, Stella just got her groove back.
We also recaptured, like, the competitive dog. All right? So, like, I want you to understand that's a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
I thought at first you said dunk. Like, he's like, I love the junks, man. Competitive dunk. But then I realized it was dog.
It'd be funnier if it was that. So that was the best scene, I would say, that we hadn't already seen. Maybe the number one seed would have been Tavita Pritchard.
Tavita Pritchard one, yeah.
Being announced as the head coach at Stanford, but that came out as a teaser, and we all got to see that. But what do you guys think of Hard Knocks? Any takeaways? We'll take your calls next. 800-636-1067. And do you agree with Dan Quinn that they may have lost, but they're not lost anymore?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different, good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Like capturing standards together. I think that's what it's about, of, you know, the battle for it. I thought in an unusual sense, it was maybe our best group game still with a loss. So it's hard to say it was our best game because you had a loss, but I thought from a performance, if you didn't have that part, the performance side, I thought this was connected. This was a punt for field position. This was a getting a stop. This was making a play. So those were things that I liked. And I saw some people playing some of their best. I like out for Samer Still and Connerly. Those were two that really I thought elevated up. And that's what I want to see, like elevation and improvement.
Dan Quinn talking about Sunday against Denver when his team lost but found themselves, as he said, on Hard Knocks. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. I love that he singled out a couple of kids there. Mikey Sanders still outside, and then Josh Connerly at tackle as having had a really good game. You heard him say, that's what I want to see. Well, so do we. I mean, we need to. We need to see Connerly keep making strides. It seems like after a rough patch to begin the year against a murderer's row in opponents, he is making significant improvements, and this is what a building block looks like. Sanra still did struggle in the nickel. Now he's got a much easier responsibility playing zone on the outside a lot. You better look good, or improved, I guess I should say. And he looked really, really good. What do they do at the end of the year? Do they just make him an outside boundary corner? Do they move him back to the nickel and try it one more time? That's something they're going to have to figure out. But if he can at least have a strong finish to the season like he's had last two games, you get to a point with Sanders still where you go into the offseason and say, there's a way he could be a really good player.
He could
rather help us, than, oh my goodness, was that a terrible second year, which is the trajectory we were on at one point in time.
That's right. So this, again, the question is, where do they think he's going to be best? They drafted him to do one thing. And usually what happens is when you have someone not do that thing, it usually works poorly. That's not the case now. He's a better boundary corner than he is slot corner. Now, one is harder than the other. That slot position is probably one of the hardest positions in all of sports right now, especially maybe the hardest one on defense. But if you found something in a boundary corner, you don't look the gift horse in the mouth. You say, that's our answer there. We've solved that, now let's try to find the other thing, even if the other thing is harder. Now, that's the question that they've got to answer internally. You don't just do it because you want to be right. You do it because that's the best thing for the football team.
Connerly finishing in a way where you feel like your tackles are locked in seems like a significant development, too. I've talked a lot the last 48 or so hours about this O-line trending in the right direction. I am assuming it's just a lock that they pay Tunsil and keep him around. They gave up so much that you would think you're willing to extend a guy who's an awesome pass protector on the left side, the blind side of your young star quarterback in Jaden Daniels. Should just be a no-brainer. Is it possible if Connerly plays really, really well that you make the financial decision to kick him over to the left side? Now you're shopping for a right tackle and you don't re-sign Tunsil. I'm just trying to think out of the box. You know, maybe that's something they could do. It would seem unnecessary. I think we're headed in a direction right now where this O-line looks really, really good for 26. If you re-up with Tunsil, you keep Connerly at right tackle for continuity. Sam Cosmi was PFF's highest graded offensive lineman in the league on Sunday. He was great. I think he allowed one pressure on 55 pass dropbacks against a really good Denver interior, one of the best pass rushing groups in the league. Biotish has become a pretty solid little center for them. He's going into year three of his deal. And then at left guard, there's some question. Do you re-up with Paul? I think you could probably do that on the cheap if they want to. Do you give Coleman another chance? But that would be the one in pencil question mark, if you will, on an otherwise well-built line that's starting to play like it could be a solution over a long time.
So for Tunsil, just to put some numbers on it, he is entering a season where his cap hit's about to be just under $25 million. Perfectly fine, by the way, for me. You play
he's
at a Pro Bowl
contract for the record next year.
Yeah.
It's just, I would have a hard time believing he wouldn't hold out or at least threaten to. Like, he deserves more money than he makes.
And he would need something done. So I don't know if we've done anything like this before where a player going into the finery of his deal would want more, and I don't know, who knows. Any hoodles, you would think that you would want to keep that player because tackles age better than a lot of other players do, right? It's not quarterback necessarily, but it's close. You look at some of these guys that are able to play at a high level into their mid to even upper 30s, that he would be in line certainly both for a raise, and that would make a lot of sense. That position is so important. And again, you still have a quarterback on his rookie deal. So you're looking at 3 years of Daniels at bargain money, even though that fifth year it jumps up. It's not what it's going to be when he signs his long-term deal here for God knows how much, 70, 80 million bucks a year maybe at this point with the way the cap's going up. So you absolutely can afford a star left tackle, and make no mistake, I think that's what Tunsil is, for, you know, basically those 3 years before that cap hit really starts kicking in for Daniels. That makes a lot of sense to me. That's very practical. If it goes awry somehow where he's asking for the moon and you don't feel comfortable giving it to him, I wouldn't love doing the another dance with Connerly to move him over and have him kind of, you know, learn the mirror image of what he just spent so many hours learning this way. And then now you're shopping for right tackle. It's not as if there's always a great shopping list there. You're probably back in the draft maybe for that, or converting somebody that's a hybrid guard tackle a la Andrew Wiley. So to me, the best solution is having Tunsil under contract. And I think they're going to try to do that.
Joe Beninati, who calls Caps games for Monumental Sports, is going to join us next. They've won 5 in a row and 8 of 9. They won last night. Second night of a back-to-back. They got a chance to make it 6 in a row tonight. We'll talk to Joe B. next on Grant and Danny.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
Yeah. I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.